Hello, everybody. Welcome back to On a Side Note. I'm Haley.
And I'm Amy. And today's episode is on what makes a book go viral. Well, first of all, I want to kick off and say Happy National Reading Month. I'm not sure if that's the official term for it, but I do know that sometime this month, there's like that Dr. Seuss week. And people are reading, at least in the elementary schools. I think that as adults, it is also important to celebrate such an important national month.
I know, that's very exciting. I feel like we should get discounts on books.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, write a note.
Maybe we will. Maybe we have. But I do miss those days in elementary school when you would just read at school.
Mm-hmm. I remember bringing a little blanket, like they tell you to bring your favorite book and bring a blanket. And then, at least in my classroom, they would clear all the desks, like move them.
Like to that to the side
yeah.
of that?
Oh. Yeah, and then just like, oh, wherever you want to put your blanket. And some people crawled under the desks that were moved to the side.
I was going to say, I remember at mine, we didn't move our desks, actually. So people were just kind of, like, scattered, like, in the walkways. It's funny because thinking back to elementary school, we just hung out with some people that Amy went to elementary school with.
Yeah.
And that just makes me think, I'm not friends with anybody that I went to elementary school with.
It was a long time ago.
I feel like they all moved away.
Especially when in elementary school, we go to, like, elementary school, middle school, and then high school. And so, at least, like, within our district, there's just so many options. So, you don't usually stay with those people that you went to elementary school with.
That's true. Also, I didn't have a lot of friends in elementary school, so it's easy for them to just kind of die off. Actually, that does make a good point because one of my best friends from elementary school, she went to your middle school instead of my middle school. Did we go to the same middle school? No, right? Okay. Why did you look at me like I said something crazy?
I was trying to think who it is.
I'm not sure you know her. Her name was Megan. Is Megan.
Megan?
Yeah.
Megan who?
Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she went to your elementary school, and then she moved to my elementary school for the GATE program, right? Okay. Yeah. Wait, you weren't in GATE? Oh.
I, like, tested, but then I didn't, like, make the move.
Oh, okay. Your parents just didn't want to move you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Oh, that is an interesting...
We could have.
I don't know. I wonder if we would have been friends.
Sooner.
I'm still unsure of when we met.
Mm-hmm.
Was it third grade?
Yeah.
Because fourth grade is when you move.
Yeah.
Anyways.
When I think back at elementary school, I think of going to the library and choosing a lot of, like, books. And so, but then I also think that, like, all going on topic to viral books, books that were popular at the time when we were younger, how did we know that they were popular? Other kids were reading, like, there's only, like, probably a few copies in your school library of books. Like, how would it be?
I think it had to do with the Scholastic Book Fair. If you're going through the catalog and you're thinking of books you want to read. But also, like, if we're listing off books in elementary school that were popular, the ones I'm thinking of are, like, Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Magic Treehouse. Harry Potter.
That one actually doesn't come to mind. I can only remember reading the last half of the series when we were older.
Oh, yeah. I also remember Twilight. Aragorn. The funny thing is that to me, Warriors was popular, but not in my school.
Oh, no. I was gonna say Maximum Ride.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I only read the first book.
That one's kind of an interesting one because I remember... I think our other friend was more into reading than I was. So I remember her really talking about Maximum Ride.
Oh.
But I didn't, I wasn't that into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I did like the first book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a long series, right?
It's very long.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
So there were books that are, I don't know. Like sometimes when I think about like, oh, what books are popular? immediately, I just think of the ones that became TV shows or movies. Like, oh, they were popular enough to move up that level.
Yeah.
Right?
But can you think of any that were very popular and didn't become books and movies? Like, is that not just the pipeline of popular books?
That's true. Warrior Cats. There's so many books. If there are so many books, how could it not be, like, super popular and sell, like, a million copies? I went to the local library the other day, and I was in the children's section. The Warrior, like, Erin Hunter, the author of the Warrior Cats series, she gets this whole shelf, like, the whole shelf, from beginning to end, not just top to bottom. I'm talking the whole library bookshelf of books. So I'm thinking, like, it has to be popular, right?
But did it get big? Because you were saying even at your school it wasn't popular. So is it...
Maybe it's, like, afterwards. Okay. Like, after we grew up.
So is it just that she has a lot of books? Or what makes you think that it was popular?
I think it's because she has a lot of books.
Okay.
Because why would the publishers allow her to write that many books?
Yeah. But how can you write that many books and not have a TV show?
Maybe because it's cats and not humans.
Maybe they were thinking... But it just seems a prime idea for a TV show, especially for that audience.
Let me try to think of something else that's popular, but no TV show or movie. The funny thing is that... It's true, like, I just think of, like, Hunger Games. Divergent.
I also think we tend to think of books we've mentioned on the podcast. Yeah. Like, these book series that we've repeatedly talked about.
But, like, what, I guess, like, to the point of breaking these down in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what got them to that level where when people think of books now, right, they mention those names over and over.
Yeah. If I'm going to really break it down to what I think makes a viral book,
mm-hmm.
like, if we're going to start from the very beginning, it's probably going to be something, for example, that didn't, like, wasn't a saturated field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's true, but, like, Harry Potter, did they have, like, a Wizarding World or anything in my opinion, no.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, like, a niche that she sort of, like, took over and created, and now, like, that's that. And then also, you really have to talk about the whole dystopian narrative of, like, the 2010s or whatever of all of that stuff was coming out. Like, that, there wasn't a lot, I think, that was like that, because I think people were going off of, like, the Harry Potter fantasy, and then you're kind of going, they're like, oh, well, what's a new category? Like, dystopian. So, like, Hunger Games, I felt like, was its own category. And then I think Divergent kind of, like, falls under that, to be honest.
And Maze Runner, right?
Yeah, I actually never read that book.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I would still say good. Maybe it kind of falls into that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I do think that perhaps that also aligns with now, when I think about book talk, A Court of Thorns and Roses is really popular, right? And they kind of dive into the whole, like, fae and, like, magical kind of genre. And so, did you know any books? Because I think that's, like, my first book about fae for me.
Because what immediately comes to mind, I think you were going to ask me if I could think of, Julie Kagawa, she wrote, I think it's called The Iron Fae or something like that. But that's a series that kind of got a little bit popular.
Okay.
And I think that was before Court of Thorns and Roses, but I don't think it really hit the prime that Sarah J. Maas has achieved. I don't really know how she became so popular, if I'm honest, because I also don't know that much. So I'm just gonna put a disclaimer that I'm sure I'm saying a lot of wrong things.
It's okay, me too. Let's put a disclaimer for this entire podcast.
Yeah. People can correct me, but I'm just saying, I know I'm probably wrong. So, anyways, that was her first series, like, the...
Throne of Glass?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that gives very, like, a similar series that I'm it's not a new thing. So I'm not really sure what kind of skyrocketed that. And then her A Court of like, why is that one seems to be more popular than A Throne of Glass? So I'm not really, I guess her writing style is what really skyrocketed her, maybe.
I do think people, for A Court of Thorns and Roses compared to Throne of Glass, I think that sometimes readers lean more into romance. That specific series, Acutar, was very heavily, like, romance-themed, as opposed to Throne of Glass. I think, like, that's probably just what people tend to, like, really get drawn into. Because if you think about going back to, like, the Hunger Games, people love, like, the whole love triangle aspect of things, right? It really makes you choose, like, oh, and also, like, Twilight, Team Edward, Team Jacob, always back to, like, the romance. So I think probably that was what was the appeal comparing Sarah J. Maas's two series.
Do you think, because you know how, if we say dystopian was, like, you know, back then, would you say now kind of the genre of choice is, like, romance? Or, like, Fromea fantasy? What's it called? Fromantasy?
Romantasy? Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. So I think that also plays a part in just really if an author kind of gets in on what's really hot right now. And then also the love triangle, like you're saying.
I never thought about comparing the era of the books that time where dystopian novels were really popular. And now, romantasy novels is what everyone is looking for.
Yeah.
And so, going into the most recent viral book I can think of, which is Fourth Wing, that just hit it right on the nail coming off of these these Acutar fans who are looking for the same, like, hit, similar to maybe Hunger Games. I don't remember which came first. And then Divergent, and then everything after that. Very interesting. Wow.
I mean, obviously, now social media does play a huge part in what books become popular. Because I am with you. I'm not really sure what back then made things become popular. Because I know, for example, Shatter Me, that was, like, I feel like before social media. And that's a popular book series. And then, like, The Unbecoming of Mara Dyer. I know that one was also kind of popular. Do you know those books?
No. Oh. I've seen Shatter Me on TikTok. But that's the only time that I had heard of it.
Like, now, I feel like people kind of bring those books back. And say, like, oh, these are good books. And I remember I saw one TikTok that was saying that as a lifetime reader, sometimes it's surprising when a book comes back of, like, oh my gosh, guys, this is such, like, you know, a hidden find. It's really, really good. And people were saying, like, well, back in 2007, everybody loved that book. But now you kind of, obviously, the trend, like, they come and go. So a book that was really popular back then, which did not become a series, is not going to have as much of, like, the lifetime, the longevity as other books that became movies or TV shows or things like that, right? But I am curious if people know what City of Bones is. Because I know that was popular, but I don't really think I see a lot about it. And that has TV shows and movies, like, multiple. And so, but I don't think that one really lasted.
It didn't take off at all. I mean, yeah, like, within the reader community. But I agree, I haven't seen a lot of, like, City of Bones making a comeback,
right? Yeah, yeah. So, I kind of wonder, because to be fair, I think she had some controversial, like, because I was thinking, what did the author do wrong? But I know back then she had some controversial stuff kind of come out. I'm not really sure what. All I know is my issue was that the series was only supposed to be three books. And so the third book, like, ended. It was nice. And then the series continued for a very long time. That felt very unnecessary.
Right.
And I think potentially other stuff, but I don't want to say anything because I don't actually know. So don't want to just out or something that didn't happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, That's very interesting. You know, you did mention that before you had watched book YouTube videos.
No.
Oh, no.
Not me.
Oh, not
our
you.
Friend.
Our friend.
I had never watched a single.
I've never watched.
No, I was like, what? I didn't even know they made those. So I personally am not sure where I got my books from.
Yeah.
I assume just the library.
Like the popular shelf?
Yeah, or just like you walk in, because I know I did do this, that I would just walk in and you go to the young adult section, mm-hmm. and then you just kind of look for a book that, because that's the other thing, at a library, they're not going to have unpopular, or for the most part, they're not going to have unpopular books.
I guess the librarians were the ones that controlled what we chose when we were younger. Maybe, like even if we knew that we were choosing the books in the, you know, what's everyone reading right now section, you know? But when we're younger, we don't really, like, think about it. Because now we have social media and we know exactly what we're influenced by. But I do think, like, back then, we were just looking for books, so we didn't really care.
Yeah, and I don't really think we cared.
Yeah.
Like, who cares if the book is bad? It was really just you're reading for something to do, mm-hmm. I think, right?
Yeah.
So, that's true. The librarians are the OG influencers. Yes. Shout out. Okay. Podcast done. Episode over. We figured it out. What makes a book go viral?
The librarians.
I do, like, I'm always happy when I see a TikTok from a library. Mm-hmm. Because I think I love the library.
Love the library, yeah. too. Do you know that you had to have a master's to be a librarian?
I did know that.
I just learned that.
I am always surprised, because what do you need to know?
Yes, that is what I'm saying. I'm like, I feel like I could learn it on the job.
Yeah.
If I were to be a librarian.
I could never be a librarian. One, don't have a master's. Obviously. But two, I feel like it requires so much interaction.
Mm.
And I wouldn't want that. Especially because you never know what somebody's going to ask you for.
Yeah. And I want to know, for any librarians who may be listening, how much of it is administrative? Like, what do you do? What is the day-to-day like, right? Because I'm thinking administrative work, since I always see them on the computer. But what kind of work? What is it?
Yeah, I don't know. But I think it would be really fun to maintain the library.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you obviously, like, the whole, if you think about the library books as supplies.
Yeah.
You have to keep track of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that would be fun.
Inventorying them?
Yeah. And thinking about sort of the cycling of books.
I think that the marketing of the books is fun.
That's because you're marketing.
Like, how do we get more people to read?
That sounds horrible.
That sounds so fun.
How does that sound fun?
Because you're going to be creative. So our local library, they've been really leaning into the Taylor Swift marketing. And so I see that everywhere now. And, like, first, it's not just, like, trivia nights and things like that. It's also, you read a book in every era. I didn't, like, click on it. It was a newsletter. So I was like, what? But they made it like a reading challenge. And then I think they have like scavenger hunts.
I saw that one.
And things like that. And so I'm curious, like, I can see how the reading from every era gets people to read and engage more with the library. But I'm wondering if the other thing, since it doesn't really seem to align exactly with the library, it just seems like Taylor Swift fun things to do. If that's just acquisition, just getting new people in the library. So I'm curious to know how they can drive that. I'm thinking like marketing now. I'm like, how do you drive that home? In a sense where if someone who just likes Taylor Swift and then they're going to a trivia night at the library, Like, how are you going to turn them into a library card holder? I'm just thinking, you know?
Well, because I do think it turns them in, because when they get there, you're like, oh, look at all the stuff that the library has. You know, they have that, like, arts and craft area kind of thing. So I think just sometimes just getting people into the library, they can see, like, wow, look how nice it is. Look how many chairs there are. Oh, I could do my homework here. Yeah. Or I could sit here. Like, oh, it looks comfy. It looks different. And I think maybe they are just trying to get people in, because this library recently renovated, so maybe they're, like, trying to show people, like, oh, it's a cool place to hang out.
Yeah.
But I am confused at how they track visitor level. Is it, like, the amount of books that are checked out? Mm-hmm. Like, what causes a library to close? How are they checking foot traffic and stuff?
That's so exciting. Because, just thinking about it.
Like, you don't pay for a library card.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you don't... Do they close library accounts if they haven't been used for a while? Because I don't think so. So there could be, like, very old library accounts. So is it, like, you're tracking users who are active within the past 5 years, and that's sort of, like, the library count of people?
Yeah.
Like, how do you see success as a marketer?
I would say, if I worked at the library, I would track increases in new library card, like, registrations, right? People getting library cards. And then for each person who has a library card, how many books that they check out per month, or however you're measuring, per year. And then comparing it by, like, oh, how many people have library cards, and then the percentage of books they check out. So kind of like a return on investment of these people who check out library cards, and then they actually use engagement, I guess, per se, for those books. So I'm like, that'd be interesting to know. And, like, that would measure.
But what about somebody who just comes to the library? Like, they have a library card, but they don't really check out books. They come out, they, like, maybe grab one. Like, you know, you could, like, work from the library or do something at the library that's not checking out books.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that thing that you walk by for the for the books getter can also track how many people walk in? Foot traffic tracked.
In my head, no. But maybe.
You never know.
I just, like, I feel like would want to know more how many people come into the library on a daily basis. But even then, you know, especially that one, like the one I think we're talking about, they don't have an outside pickup.
Mm-hmm.
So people who, like, pick up books have to come inside.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas maybe at the other library, you know, I don't actually go in as often as I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
But just as a consumer, I'm just curious how many people go into the library.
I have two separate thoughts. One, that's probably why they make you log in before you use a library computer. I didn't even think about that. I'm like, oh! I'm like, why can't I just use this? And then my second thought was that I had heard from somewhere, probably TikTok, but I'd like to think it was somewhere else. I don't want all my things to come from TikTok. That libraries are, they said there's this dying third space, right? So, the first space in society is your home, second space is work, and then the third space is just a community space, right? And so, they were saying that libraries used to be built near neighborhoods or places where people could just, like, walk to and use the library as a third space, but now...
coffee shops.
Yes, coffee shops are really, like, the space, and so libraries were supposed to be, like, oh, a very close-knit community. Like, you know, go in there, you see your neighbors and stuff like that. But they said that was, like, dying, so that was kind of sad.
Okay, I have two thoughts.
Excellent.
One is that the whole third space thing, my brother literally, I had never seen anything or heard anything like that, so new to me. My brother literally just asked me yesterday, he goes, what is your third space? Out of the blue. And I thought, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. And I said, like, what are you asking me? He's like, what is your third place? And I was like, Nathan, you have to tell me what you're, out of the blue, out of nowhere, we were talking about nothing. And I was like, very, very confused. And so he's like, kind of explaining it, and also not really, like, how is it hard? Anyways. And so I was like, I guess like the outside. Because he said, where do you spend the most time? Work, home, is what he said, right? And then, and I was like, I guess outside, because I don't really go anywhere consistently except for outside.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, not very often. So, bringing it back, I was like, oh, that makes way more sense than how he had explained it to me. Because I was like, whoa, literally just yesterday. And I was like, oh, okay, so this is like a thing that people are talking about.
Yeah, it's popular now.
And two, I think coffee shops are just easier because you can, like, be at least loud and, like, bring in food and drink and stuff like that. Like, sometimes I walk into the library and I feel it's too quiet and I get really nervous about, like, what if I accidentally drop something or, like, you know, I don't want to disturb anybody. It's, like, really quiet. So the library is not my third space.
Mm-hmm. You know, the library that we're talking about, you probably know this, actually, that they were going to build a coffee shop inside.
Oh my gosh, is it where that thing, like, mm-hmm. right before you walk in? Mm-hmm. Oh, that, I do think that area could be nice.
So I actually think they built it, and no one came, and no one used it.
I would think the opposite.
Too many people came?
No. That I don't think they built it.
No, I saw it.
No, but in use?
Oh, no, not in use. Yeah. I just, like, saw it.
Because I remember it going, it used to be where you deposit the book, mm-hmm. right? And I remember they closed it, but I don't remember it ever actually, like, opening for something else or as something else. I just remember they closed it, and I was like, why? And I thought it was just because they were renovating, like, the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
So did it actually, like, open?
It didn't open. I saw that they redid the
counter.
The counter, and they had that section where they usually have muffins, you know, that kind of, like,
mm-hmm.
glass yeah. kind of area. And then they had the menu up in the back, as you would imagine a coffee shop to have. But it was all empty, and that was the last time that I saw it. And then now it's just all covered up. So, I'm thinking, are they, and they used to have this sign on the side of the library that said, like, coffee roasters or whatever, and now it's gone.
I'm saying, I don't think it opened. I think something else happened.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe they decided it wasn't a good idea, or, like, I don't know, but I've actually, and I mean, maybe the pandemic?
Yeah, no,
because when
right.
did they? Because I was like, right. I just think genuinely, I don't, and I, because I remember specifically when it closed, and so I think I was going to that library pretty, like, regularly. So I'm like, I don't actually remember it ever, because I was thinking, what is this, and what is it going to be, and then it never became anything.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah, but I was also saying that library, the outside is not a good area to hang, like, there's one table.
Yeah
because we did our video there, and I remember sitting at the one table, and the rest is just grass. And I guess on a nice sunny day you could, like, bring your own stuff and sit there, but there's no coffee shop, there's not really anywhere close by to go, and the police station is right across,
and City Hall.
Yeah, so, like, you know, you don't really want to hang out where police you know, you might be doing something.
Yeah, right.
They like to get anybody doing anything. Anyways, so I do, maybe I will maybe try to frequent. I mean, the other thing is that that library has no, like, windows except for in, like, the back.
Yeah.
The other library,
it's too crowded.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there? Like, even on a weekday, I tried going once. Very crowded. I'm like, don't you all work? And I guess they're working there.
Oh, yeah. I miss the old one.
The old one?
Before they remodeled it.
I actually hadn't gone to the old one.
Oh, really?
I mean, didn't go as frequently.
Oh, yeah, I didn't go that often either. Just occasionally because, you know, when you have school projects and then just some people lived more that way. So we went met there. And I just remember thinking it felt like there were more spaces to sit. It was like three floors, kind of. And I mean, I guess this one's kind of three floors as well. But I remember thinking the new one, it feels so much smaller. And like all of the seating areas are like jam-packed together. Whereas in the other place, it was kind of like you had to find one, which is kind of better because then some people, you know, are in different places. So I miss.
So create your ideal library. Plenty of seating, not too quiet. Maybe they have like a quiet section and a not quiet section. Did they have that at your university? Where in the library, each a certain floor is kind of like designated to be
Oh,
the
yeah.
quiet section. So maybe they do that at public libraries if they have enough funding. What if there's a coffee shop? So I was also thinking about bookstores because when I was younger, I used to go to Borders,
Oh,
actually,
R.I.P.
and read there. Just sit and read.
Often?
Yeah. Well, whenever I went, I would just. But I was a
Oh,
child,
so
so maybe it's
Borders was
different.
your library.
Yeah. And then I got scared because a worker came up to me and said, "Where's your parents?"
Oh.
You shouldn't be sitting here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would be traumatic.
Yeah. I don't remember going to read again after that,
Oh,
actually.
no! If we ever see that worker again,
Yeah.
it's on site.
Well, Borders is shut down,
That's true, but
so
where is he now?
Barnes and Noble.
My mom and I, when we went to the East Coast, I didn't have like a plan of what I wanted to do or anything, so we just went to a Barnes and Noble and I read a book. I was like, that was nice. It was a good use of my time, I felt like, but I get nervous because I don't think you're supposed to read.
The books.
Yeah.
Then why do they have chairs?
I guess just for, you know, people who get tired of standing. Are the chairs for reading? Like, do they let you read books? I
In
get
my head,
nervous.
yeah.
Okay. That's good. I was sitting in a chair. Because I know they don't like you to sit on the ground. So I guess if there's an open chair, you can sit and read, but otherwise, you can't. Can you stand and read?
Yeah, I've stood and read.
So, are there any other factors that you think make a book go viral? Do you think, sorry, that there is a specific audience of people that makes a book go viral, like teen girls, and now potentially young adult girls or adult girls?
Okay, I was actually thinking about this in a sense where what if, like, to us it is like
Yeah.
viral, but to an adult, they're thinking of like other books, like these like nonfiction, historical, like a
Yes.
whole different realm that we don't even know.
Because if I'm thinking of my family, yes, that is very true. My dad wouldn't know a single thing, and he likes to read. But I was thinking, you know what it is like an adult book that went viral? Ender's Game.
Oh yeah, I know Ender's Game. I didn't read it personally, but I have heard of it.
And that's the only thing that comes to mind from the other side.
Really? What about like Lord of the Rings? Like The Hobbit? Game
But
of Thrones?
I don't think of the books having gone viral. But did the books go viral and
That's the
that's why they
question.
have
Yeah, that's
the
what I'm
movies? Do
saying.
you think so?
Like, how would those producers have known to choose those books? Like, I would think that the authors had some kind of grounds, like, oh, we sold 5 million books. You need to make this a movie. And then they're like, oh, I guess there's an audience for it. And then they make the movie.
Or is it that like movie producers slash directors are looking for something and they're like, you know what's good? This Game of Thrones book series. Like, I don't know because, you know, for example, the TV show The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Yeah.
I know the book was popular, but that was popular way back when we were in high
I
school.
had never heard of it. I probably mentioned that in the previous podcast. I got a deja vu just
So
now.
does that not seem shocking to you that they came out with a TV show and it's all of a sudden like popular? Like, do you not think they were thinking, oh, I wonder what was a popular series that I can make into a TV show?
Yes.
That's
Yeah,
It's the chicken or the egg.
That's situation. Right. It's the chicken
or the egg. I don't know enough people to get the actual answers.
Exactly. We need to widen our horizons.
That's a very good question. I would have to ask my dad if he read the Lord of the Rings series.
Mm-hmm. Or Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Well, I know he didn't read that. Mm. So, I don't know, but that's it. My grandparents, they read exclusively, like, mystery books.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have this one, Phantom Prey, that I got. It's up at the top on the left.
Mm-hmm,
it's
I see
that black
it.
One. That I got from my grandpa, and that's, like, what's his name? Patterson?
James Patterson. He has, like, a million books.
Yeah, in, like, everything.
Yeah.
Because he's got, like, young adult books, too.
Yeah.
And it's good.
So he was, like, all the rage, right?
Yeah.
Is? Maybe
yeah,
he
like,
is.
Yeah, like, is. And I'm, like, there's authors that my dad loves. They're, like, author people, though. The old people. I'm trying to think of Dean Koontz.
I don't know Dean Koontz.
He's like a mystery guy that writes a lot of books.
What about that author that writes like horror books?
Like the new author that writes horror books?
I don't
books?
Know. Just
oh, okay.
An old author that writes horror books.
Okay.
Wait, who is that person? I can't think of it. His name. Okay.
I'm ready.
You know that movie with the red balloon and the...
Yes, Stephen King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He writes books.
Yes, he does.
That's
and the... he's a popular author.
Yeah.
But do we really think of, like, viral? Is viral a phrase exclusively used for young adult women? I think I'm biased, obviously, because I am a woman. I can't think of anything man-related at all. Do you think your boyfriend knows viral things?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
Like, they don't know
things. They don't know things. Maybe that's why, like, man books don't go viral. Viral, quote-unquote viral.
Yeah.
You know? They keep it to themselves. They just pick it up and read it, and they put it away. They don't find a community.
Yeah, because I was like...
To chat about their book.
The only thing equivalent would be, like, sports. That's viral, and that's something that men share with other men. Just, like, news. Like, hey, did you hear this?
Mm-hmm.
And cars.
But not books.
I also really only know, like, old men. So maybe men, like, our age-ish or younger, potentially are different. You know, the whole hippie vibe?
Yeah,
hipster
okay.
Is what I meant.
Hipster. Yeah, so if we find some hippie men, hipster
You know what? Okay, because I went on this date. Not recently.
Oh.
A long time ago. But he was a reader. And he was saying he reads... like, self-help vibe-ish books,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the one that went kind of viral, the Before Coffee Turns Cold?
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about that one.
Did you like that one?
I didn't read it yet. I have it.
Continue.
He was a reader.
You should just date readers. Then we can study them.
He also...
and learn about them. Men readers. Man readers.
But I feel like that's... I, one, can't really date... I would have... Okay. Because I have a problem that I want to be like... I want to date my dad. You know what they say? Like, girls tend to date their...
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's,
but
yeah.
In the sense, like, he needs to read things that I don't read.
Yeah. You want that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because... I mean, I don't know, the vibe of someone who reads, like, self-help, I don't know what, like, nonfiction, is a vibe of someone that I potentially would not want to date. Right? I'm not put together enough for somebody who reads nonfiction for fun.
Yeah. So basically, a fiction reader, then.
Yeah, they can read sci-fi.
Yeah. Sci-fi's cool.
Yeah, and that means they're smart, because a lot of times I try to read a sci-fi book, and it's just like, I am lost. Too many words. Too many big words. I tried to read Ender's Game. My dad loves it.
I think I tried to read it, too.
Yeah, it's rough! It's rough. Too much, like, talk of physics and,
mm-hmm.
like, space. I'm
it's
like,
too much.
Okay, I'm not here to learn.
That's the equivalent of if we were villains, right? The Shakespeare... references. You just skip through them, really. Yeah.
But it's just, I got to a point where, like, I want to understand how this world works. I want to know how you guys can all of a sudden be living in space. That's crazy. But I don't get it.
It's all right.
So.
Which is why you would have a boyfriend who reads that and they can explain it to you in terms.
Ideally. But I just, like, that just shows that they're smart. They get it.
They just have a different brain.
Yeah.
It just works a different way.
Yeah. So, that's my ideal. I will date a sci-fi reader. No more, no less.
Not a non-fiction reader. Or a self-help book reader.
But now I was thinking, maybe that's not right either. Because if you think about, like, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
If you think it's about fantasy. Someone who loves... Oh, okay. Not sci-fi? Mm-mm. Interesting.
So, you can date a fantasy reader, too?
Nope.
Oh!
No, I was saying I would not date someone who loves Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Think of... Are we... Do you get that pin down?
You need to continue. Keep the words flowing.
That I feel like somebody who loves Lord of the Rings... Mm-hmm. I don't love Lord of the Rings. Do you love... Because actually, now that I'm saying this, I'm like, I think Amy likes...
I love Lord of the Rings. No, I haven't read the books. I do think that the books are a lot.
Okay.
See, there's difference. Like, I like the movies. I like the Lord of the Rings movies.
You were on thin ice.
The book. I tried. I was like, I turned on like the soundtrack of Lord of the Rings, and ooh. I was like, ooh, gotta like end the vibes, and then like reading it. I'm just like, not really jumping into this world very much. So I don't know if that like helps your case, doesn't help your case. That's my stance. That's where I'm at.
I guess we'll see where this friendship goes.
Well, I do think that there's specific types of fantasy. Like, books, fantasy books I can read, and ones I cannot.
Because I was going to say Brandon Sanderson.
Oh my gosh.
You like.
I literally love that man. He writes in a way that I can, like, read it. Good writing style. I think that both Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings, I both tried to read those books. It's just way too heavy. Like, too much words. Too much description. I get that they're trying to build the world. But I think there has to be, like... Like, you know me. I'm the reader that doesn't want to read too much fluff. Like, I'm just like, get me to the point, you know? I'll read, like, two sentences of descriptions. And then I got it from there.
Yeah.
And so I also think that Brandon Sanderson... writes things in a way where he's building the world as you're reading it, as opposed to you're reading thick paragraphs of the world, I don't know, like consecutive pages, you know? I can't take that. But if you give me like, I'm like a mouse and you give me like a little cookie on the world, you know, and then I like go about my day and oh, there's another cookie. I eat the cookie. As opposed to, like, a giant chocolate cake right off the bat. I'm like, So I hope that, like, makes sense of, like, how I read it fantasy. Does.
Yeah. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. I was just thinking, I feel like it is hard as a writer. I'm not sure how people to world build how I like it to be world built. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's hard. Because you got to make sure you hit all the necessary points, but not too much that they're like, oh my god, but enough that they get it.
Yeah. Because if they don't get it, they're like, ow, I don't get it. What's going on?
Yeah. But I guess there are people, obviously, who like that. So yeah. Whatever you feel like is right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let me know if you find a guy who likes to read, what genre he likes to read, and we'll go from there.
We will see. That would be very interesting in the future. That
sounds so fun. I mean, of course, it's not just about reading. It's about your connection, your chemistry, and your love. But also... You go on your date, I give you a second list of questions to ask.
No, literally. My opening question would be, so do you like to read?
Yeah. Oh, mine right there.
It's funny. Sorry, side note. that I love it when you I read through like Instagram comments on like, you know, for example, the NHL posts. And sometimes people just say the craziest things.
Like whatever's on their mind.
Well, no, I guess that's not what I meant. That like they get political immediately. That I was so one of like our guys on our team just got traded today. And so I like to read through the comments because they tend to be funny and they let me know whether this was like a win for us, a win for the other team. Like people say their opinions and I like to read them, but it always cracks me up when people say something like and then they're commenting on somebody else's, right? And so the guy was like, "Oh, something, something, something. You must have voted for Biden too." And I was like, "Okay, like I don't really know why people always have to bring, like, politics into just, like, random things about, like, hockey." I was like, okay, I guess you're a Trump supporter.
In a way, it makes it funny, though. Yeah. As a reader, if you're being, like, attacked, then, like, I feel like that's a different
story. As a third party, I'm cracking up. Yeah. I laugh.
I'm like, these are funny.
Yeah, I'm really, like, hilarious. Yeah. Like.
I've been there. I get it.
Anyways, should we do our song?
Anyways, the first 10 minutes. Librarians make books go viral. Done. Everything else is a side note.
Okay, to be fair, I brought it back.
You were really
good. To virality.
That's good. I got distracted, but you were great.
No, I had a lot of questions. I'm sorry. I led you off. And I was like, I gotta make up for this and bring it back. But I was really, really excited for this episode because I was like, I want to know.
No, this is fun because we never really talk about things.
I know. I did not come prepared for my song today.
So, I too did not come prepared.
Perfect.
But I can share a song that's been stuck in my head.
All right.
It's an old, not old, but old, not new.
Okay.
It's Troye Sivan's song called Angel Baby.
Angel Baby. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's very stuck in my head.
Okay.
I've been singing it.
Okay. I guess my song is going to be a musical song.
Ooh.
It's from Anastasia.
Mmm.
And it's called My Petersburg by Derek Klena.
Ooh. I like Anastasia.
Oh,
I
yeah?
I haven't seen the musical, but I know the Disney movie.
I want to see the musical. Here's my thing. This is going to be a little bit of a side note. I'm sorry. But I love Derek Klena. And I go through phases. I love to watch videos of, like, musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just had, what is it called? Like, the Jimmy Awards. Mm-hmm. And that's for, like, teens who are in, like, musical theater, and they do, like, award shows, and so that's, like, Renee Rapp won in, like, 2018 or something when she was, like, in it, and so, have you seen the movie No Hard Feelings?
No.
That guy, who's in that movie, he won his year as well. He was in, like, Dear Evan Hansen, and so they just had it recently, and so I saw this video of this guy who was, like, so, like, they perform and stuff like that and kind of thing. And so I saw this video of it and I watched it and I was like, oh my god, he's amazing. And he's, like, 17. And so he won this year. And so we're like, we can imagine we'll probably see more of him as, like, musical. Like, and so I like to read through the comments and stuff like that. So I had never actually listened to this song. I've listened to other songs from the musical from Anastasia. But this guy, I was like, you're so good! And you're so young. So, like, this guy who's, like, on the recording, he's, like, a really popular person that people really like because he's, like, really good. And this, like, 17-year-old was doing it, like, just as good as this guy. Wow. He's so good. I was like, wow. Kudos, my man.
Wow. Bright future ahead.
Yeah. I was like, we'll see more of you later, I'm sure. I get really excited. Well, I hope everybody has a good week.
And a happy reading month.
Woo!
Bye-bye.
Bye.